As the Lord shall be pleased to help this evening, you'll find the text in the first epistle to the Corinthians, the first chapter, and the first part of the 23rd verse. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the first part of the 23rd verse. But we preach Christ crucified. But we preach Christ crucified. I tried to speak 3 times yesterday from this text, and I felt at the close of the day I'd hardly touched it. It seemed so vast, so tremendous, but we preach Christ crucified. And as I said yesterday, if my preaching and your hearing comes short of Christ crucified, it'll come short of everything. You'll have no knowledge or spiritual conception of that light of which you've just sang. Because when Christ crucified is preached, as the soul is so helped by the Spirit to understand these things, then he's light. And how you have experienced it, I hope, he's been to you a light in a dark place. The dear apostle, he had no other gospel. He was able to say, God forbid I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, friends, as you are well aware and well acquainted, there were many in the apostles' day, as many in our days, that come short of the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many today are satisfied with an easy way, an easy religion, easy preaching, how they can go in and out of places of worship. 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour perhaps is long enough. They have no desire, no longing, no spiritual appetite for a living Christ. But it is as the man, as dear Paul says in the Romans, the power of God unto salvation. Therefore, his preaching was not without enticing words, but it was in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I pray just for a moment this evening the Lord might grant unto us that same power. For power belongeth unto God. He has power to kill and power to make alive. He has power to wound and power to heal. His power is divine power. And if then he is pleased to you, his word this evening with power, then we shall not go out of this house of God unmoved. There be something, even if it is a word of reproof for you or for me, or a word of blessing for our souls. Preach Christ crucified. And as we are led to view a little of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he is, as we sometimes sing, he was a real man. A real man. And as we view him, as he came down here upon this earth, he came down here for that one aim, that one word, there was that determined work before him, the counsel of his Father. A church must be saved. A church must be redeemed. And nothing less than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would purchase that church, would redeem those sinners, those who are dead in sins and trespasses. They must be redeemed. They were God's blessed people, though they lay in wickedness. They lay in death. They lay unmoved. Yet he was in mercy to redeem them from the ruins of the fall. And as Christ is preached, then I believe the hearts of the Lord's people are opened to receive him as he is preached. What a difference it is when Christ is preached into your hearts. Have you felt it? When Jesus preached right into your soul. You may have gone in and out the house of God many times. And you may have said, that's been a good sermon. You felt it's been a good sermon. You could say yea and amen to every word. But there's been a few times, just a few times, when he's been preached right into your soul. When the word's gone right into your soul, it hasn't left you unmoved. The prayer you asked, the blessing you asked, and the hymn you just sang has been answered then. You've not been unmoved as Christ has been preached into your soul. It's been a Holy Ghost ministry. Nothing to do with a poor preacher. It is the living God. And as you've been led then to see a little of the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't you seen him in a different light? Haven't you felt him in a different way? Why, it's been a living way. It's been a bright light. The word has gone seemingly right into your soul. You've handled, you've tasted. You haven't gone on the street corner, friends, and shouted about it. No. You've crept away. Crept away. Have you felt elevated? Have you felt exalted? No. Why, Lord? Why was I singled out? Why should I feel thy mercy? Why, Lord, such a sinner as me should have a glimpse of yon lovely man? Why should a helpless one as me have a sweet knowledge of the saving power of a precious Christ? That is, friends, when Christ, crucified, is preached into your hearts, into your very experiences. Not like water dropping upon a stone. It's like the dew of heaven that silently comes down and rests, and the plant absorbs that dew. Have you had a little absorbing time? When you felt the presence of God as you sang your first hymn in the house of God? As you sat in your seat, you felt the presence. The dew of heavens rested upon you. Not with your mortal eyes did you behold these things. No, but by the eye of faith. And by the eye of faith, it has been Jesus. As Jesus has been preached to you. And you've been able then by faith to lay hold upon him, to claim him. You know, there's no greater height here upon this earth to attain to, than by faith to claim a precious Jesus as your Jesus, your Saviour and your Redeemer. Now that Jesus is preached, Christ crucified is preached, then before that living soul by faith his sufferings is opened up before you. We read of the suffering this evening of the dear apostle, and we often read of the sufferings of the Lord's people, but they are nothing compared with the sufferings of Christ as Christ is preached. One said, I often repeat those words, I believe one to whom Christ was preached, that one said, I creep beside him like a worm and see him bleed for me. Ah, friends, when Christ is preached, then you feel like a worm. Then you feel a crawling worm. Then you feel a hobbling worm. But it is in your soul's experience. Give me that Christ. Lord, without thee I shall perish. Lord, without thee my sins will damn me for time and eternity. But with thee all things are possible. Do you believe it, friends? All things are possible. What is the greatest thing that seems to you oft times? Is it not your sin? Is it not your iniquities? Are they not the greatest things? Do they not seem sometimes immense? Do they not seem heavy? Are they not burdens? With God all things are possible. Through the preaching of Christ crucified, as the soul is quickened, then there is opened up before that soul that new and living way. That way to Christ. That way which is Christ himself. And the poor sinner then has a little hope. A little hope springs up. If I may. Is there one here this evening with that language? If I may. But touch the hem of his garment. That woman, she had hope. She believed. I believe she'd heard of Jesus. I believe she'd heard of his power. Have you not heard of Jesus? Have you not heard of his power? And in your hearing, it hasn't fell upon stony ground. It has brought within you a breathing, a longing, an exercise. And as you are so exercised, like that dear woman, there's a resolve within. You may not be able to say it or speak to another one about it. There's a resolve within. There's an earnest desire. There's a longing, there's a hungering, there's a thirsting for a living Christ. If I may. Where's the if, friend? Where is the if? The if is in you, not in Christ crucified. No. In Christ crucified, there are made known God's shall. God's wills, and such a poor sinner as you, who can but say now perhaps, if I may, you shall come. And dear Jeremiah said how you would come. He set forth your path. They shall come weeping. They shall come with supplications. What makes them weep? Mourning over their sins. Godly repentance. That's how they come. When Christ is crucified. When that Spirit indites within the longing desire to lay hold upon Him. The dear Apostle, I believe read this evening, not this evening, no, that I may know Him. He counted all things but loss, dung and dross. He knew Christ crucified. He knew the love of God in Christ crucified, but could he stay there? Friend, you had your meals today, and we hope your body enjoyed them, but God willing, strength given, you'll need some more tomorrow, or before the day is out. But much more the needs of the soul. The dear apostle said, that I may know Him. Paul, I thought you were acquainted with Him. Paul, I thought you had a marvellous conversion. He did, friends. But his acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified was no deeper than yours. No greater acquaintance than yours. Because life was implanted. And life being implanted, we cannot grade life. Can we? We can't grade life. We can't put life in categories. Life is life. And when the Holy Spirit breathes into the soul life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is with the same power, the same love, the same light. Therefore, this dear apostle which we sometimes speak, and we should speak, in Christ Jesus, highly of Him, shouldn't preach it. I've heard people talk sometimes as though they're preaching Paul. God forbid. Paul didn't want it. He didn't dishonor it. He said, as I quoted earlier, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. That's where His glory was, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we preach, Christ crucified. And how that resolve, as I said, that was found in that dear woman, how the Lord made Himself manifest. It's a sweet portion, friends. I fear it's a lovely portion. Somebody hath touched me. Somebody hath touched me. Is that somebody here this evening? That somebody which tremblingly, feelingly, needingly has laid hold upon a precious Jesus. How have you laid hold upon Him? We might set before you many characters. There is one often set before you, service after service. Poor publican. He touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense. And I believe when Christ crucified is preached, when the soul is so enlivened and quickened, then that faith goes forth. God be merciful to me, a sinner that's touching Him. One may be saying, you mean that I do worse? It's touching Him. Touching Him who was crucified. He was crucified for that man's sins. That man's sins nailed Him to the cross. Not only that man's sins, But can it be said your sins? If it can be said your sins, you won't just say it. You'll feel it. You'll realize it. And you won't have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ once in your lifetime. And then ever afterwards have joy. No. It'll be a daily cry. An hourly cry of times. But he never turned yet. He never will turn. A poor sinner pleading. His blood and his righteousness. Now you may be saying, can I attain to such high ground? Can I plead the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, it's the only plea. It's the only plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. One said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If your hope's built there, it's your plea, isn't it? We want real things, you know, right? And I'm trying to praise. Your hope's there, it's your plea. It's the very foundation of your hope. And of that hope which you plead before him, his blood and righteousness. It's all found here. Praise Christ crucified. And as we view him as he has been preached, I was only reading this evening at our friend's house of how Philip, he had to go to Samaria. There was trouble in Jerusalem. What trouble was that? Hatred. Hatred. How the world, how the Jews hated the name of Jesus. How they stirred up and how they persecuted the church. That dear man who preached Christ crucified, Stephen, he was stoned. And it seemed to be made so awful for them in Jerusalem. Philip went to Samaria. What did he go there and do? Sit under the juniper tree? Did he go there and say, I and I only am left? He preached Jesus. He preached there in Samaria, Jesus. What gracious spiritual effects that preaching had. Our hearts were opened. Understandings were opened. Wonders were seen. Miracles were experienced. All in preaching Jesus. Jesus who died at Calvary. Jesus crucified. And is it in the same chapter? I believe it is, or the next chapter, where we read of where Philip preached to the eunuch. What were his words there? What did he preach to the eunuch? Preached unto him Jesus. But we preach Christ crucified. I felt a few weeks ago a sweet time in preaching for those words. Preached unto him Jesus. Our people at home released me to go to Abington one Lord's Day to help out there. And as I went into the vestry, it is a practice there, and I believe it is further north, for the minister to give out the hymns. I didn't know anything about it before I went in the vestry. The deacon came to me and he said, have you got the hymns for the organist? I told him I didn't realise I had to give out my own hymns. Oh yes, he said, you have to find them, announce them, and it'll be four hymns. It seemed to, throw me right down. I felt I couldn't pray. I did ask the Lord to help me to, some of you have to give out hymns and know what the weight is. Sometimes the Lord gives you a hymn in a few moments. Sometimes you have to search and search again. You read the hymn through, perhaps one moment, and you'll feel, that'll be all right. Look at it again, you can't give it out. You know, I do feel it is good to have weighty deacons. Some can seem to open the hymn book, give up the first hymn they seem to light on. Friends, if you who have to give out hymns, I believe there's a weight to it. And is not oft times these things helping the service? I said to the deacons there, I said, if you were my deacons, you'd have to bear this weight. But I went in the pulpit, feeling forlorn, and miserable. I sat down in the pulpit. I had no sooner sat down than I seen and heard a voice, an audible voice, preached unto him Jesus. And I turned round as though the voice came from behind. And you know, I did feel help that day, both in the preaching services and the Bible class in the afternoon, from speaking those words, preach unto him Jesus. And it wasn't before the close of the day that one of the deacons said to me, you know, he said, the last time our pastor stood in that pulpit, you're just about to sit down. And he spoke to us and he hoped, trusted, that whoever should stand in the pulpit following him would preach Jesus. I felt what a blending the Spirit. What a blend. He had little thought, I believe, just then, How quickly he'll be called from these earthly labors to serve him above with nothing between. And it's the only preaching, the only real preaching. I often feel, and I say at home, many a time, I wish I could preach. Wish I could preach. Preached unto him Jesus. And as dear Philip preached to the eunuch, Jesus, what did he preach? He preached his humiliation. He preached his suffering. He preached his sorrows. He preached his wounds. He preached his conflict. He preached his warfare. Yes, and he preached his shed blood. He preached him as he was seen at Calvary, a man with wounds, gaping wide. That's what he preached. And dear child of grace, if Christ has been preached to your heart and mind, your soul and mine with wounds gaping wide, it'll soften you. It'll bring you down. It'll humble you in the dust. It will. Then you'll cry, as I said earlier, why me? Why should a wretch as me? Why should a sinner as me be led to feel and to see by faith that living stream, that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. It'll be why me? And Christ will have all the glory. And you know, there are times when the Lord's people, when they are travelling through deep waters, heavy trials, circumstances they cannot manage themselves, and those places which may seem hard and rugged. Dear Peter, he preached Jesus, and his preaching echoes in his word. He preached to the Lord's people, "Beloved, think it not strange, the fiery trials to try you, but rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ." Friend, how can you be partakers of the sufferings of Christ unless the Holy Spirit enables you to, by living faith, to see a suffering Saviour, a suffering dear Redeemer? God said, "This man will I look." What man? That man has a broken heart, contrite spirit. Did he stay there? Did he include you, poor sinner? Were you included in that portion? "Him that trembleth at my word." You ever trembled at Calvary? Trembled that your name will be left out? Trembled you'll be left yourself? Well, you can't feel the blessedness you would. Others may seem to be blessed. Others may seem to be much favored. Others may seem to show grace and speak of grace, and there you're left a trembler. Who's a trembler? A living person, naturally. And a trembler at God's word is a living soul. You may write bitter things against yourself. You may say, I want to know this and I want to know that. I don't know this and I don't know that. These feelings, they do go on. But do you tremble? Have you trembled at the cross? What about that little hymn, I believe, 439? When you come to those words, "See from his head, his hands, his feet." You had to stop there. Couldn't you sing him? Then he's been too great for you. What have you done, brothers? You've trembled at them. Trembled at them. There's not been a slavish fear in your soul. There's been a filial fear. Because you've had to say, truth, Lord, and him that trembles my word, the Lord has said he's prompt to look upon. And when the Lord looks upon tremblers, it's with mercy, you know. "I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy." And those that tremble at God's word, those that tremble at Calvary, yes, they shall find mercy. They shall know mercy. Because the precious blood of Jesus Christ speaks. It echoes. Mercy. 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 Poor sinner, poor trembler, mercy for you. Through the virtue and the power of this precious blood. For we preach Christ crucified. And hasn't it been an encouragement to you sometimes? You know, the Lord's people, they sometimes feel like this. You have enjoyed these things. Your soul has been bathed in that precious blood. And you come to a place sometimes you feel as hard as the seats you sit on. You feel prayerless. You feel lifeless. Now, to be honest with yourselves, you may have said to yourself, in this place, is there a God? Is there a God? What would the unbeliever say if I said that to him or her? The Lord's people know something of these things. But does the Lord leave you there, friends? Does he leave you there? He'll bring you to mourn over your sins. And he'll bring you to mourn an absent God. Where will that bring you to or take you to? Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Show me a token, Lord, for good day. You want to be shown, you want to be made known that you are born again. What born again ones ask to be born again? We cannot keep ourselves, friends. And I believe some of you, I hope, are living witness of this. We cannot keep ourselves. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples? Without me you can do nothing. We can't keep ourselves. As we read in Psalm 121, and sing that beautiful hymn, which is based upon it, sometimes we sing it, Christ is the keeper of his saints. Yes. We pray. Christ crucified. Therefore, in these few, and I feel very scattered remarks this evening, I would the Lord Jesus Christ might make himself manifest and reveal himself to you again and again as he is preached. As he is preached, crucified. That the glorious effects, the saving power, the healing virtue, the depth, the wonder, and the glory of his precious blood might be sweetly entered into, that to your soul and mine it might not just be blood, precious blood, sacred blood, lovely blood, beautiful. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Can you come over the rest part of that text? Have you been to the lowest depth? Bowed down to the lowest the next part. Where the dear apostle was, of whom I am chief.